Hi, welcome to Jazz Rhythm, an exploration of the lore, culture, and personalities of early jazz. I'm Dave Radlauer. This is the first of three programs featuring traditional jazz soprano saxophonist Stan McDonald, a follower of the great Sidney Bechet and remarkable talent in his own right. This hour will consist entirely of rare, live, unissued music from Stan's personal library, with one exception of this outstanding live performance from one of his CDs, Cole Porter's Just One of Those Things. Stan McDonald.
The version I do was inspired by Sidney, and it's just me with three rhythm, John Pierce on string bass and Phil Hauer on piano. Tony Hannon on drums. The most important thing to me about it is the way it drives, and that's mainly to do with Tony. He's really propelling me almost breathlessly, so I really like that version.
Soprano saxophonist Stan McDonald, my guest this hour on Jazz Rhythm, Jumping Swing, Classic Blues, and Hot Jazz, Old and New. During these three programs, we'll be hearing a half century of McDonald's music, listening to his Blue Horizon Jazz Band, and sampling his performances with notable all-stars. But to most fans of traditional jazz, McDonald will be best remembered as one of the founders of the outstanding New Black Eagle Jazz Band of Boston, Massachusetts, with his colleagues trombonist Stan Vincent and the outstanding pianist Bob Pillsbury. I can tell you, having personally recorded that band and heard it several times, it had, in my opinion, no equal in the world of trad jazz music. I'm talking with Stan at his home in Sherburn, Massachusetts. Welcome, Stan.
Hi, Dave.
It's great to have you on Jazz Rhythm.
Well, it's my pleasure. You've certainly put a lot into this.
Listeners will be interested to find that for about 6 months now, we've been sorting through your extensive collection dating back a half a century to the late 1950s. In fact, this series of three programs will be entirely rare, exclusive, live, or mostly out-of-print material. There'll be a few items here and there from his CDs and LPs, but basically this is material that's never been broadcast and by and large has not been heard by anybody but the musicians who originally created the music.
And the audiences.
That's true. Stan, we're going to talk a little bit later about your early years, but I think a lot of the listeners, particularly those who follow traditional jazz, will know you best from your years with the Black Eagle Jazz Band.
Well, I was with them from 1971 to 81, at the inception in 71, and I started the Blue Horizon Jazz Band in 1981. Perhaps I got more exposure with them than I have been since the Blue Horizon started.
You guys played quite a few festivals and even symphony halls and so forth over that 10-year period.
Yes, we did. We played the Bangor Symphony, the Cape Cod Symphony, the Baltimore Symphony, either the Boston Pops or the Boston Symphony. I can't quite recall.
Were there several trips to festivals in Europe?
Yes, there were four, I think, with me. But it's getting so long ago that I have trouble recalling some of this stuff.
What's easy to recall is that this was a band of considerable power and momentum and virtuosity.
Well, there's no question about it. It was a committee of the whole, for one thing. Every member was committed to the excellence of the band. We rehearsed a lot and got deeply involved in digging up things that had been played often. It was not run by one individual, although three of us really established most of the policy. me and the leader, Tony Pringle, and manager, Peter Bullis.
Pringle, as an Englishman who plays cornet in a very distinctive style. Also, there was another principal player on the front line you had been working with for years.
Yes, that's right, Stan Vincent. And Stan had played with a band that I had at the University of Massachusetts.
So you and he were old comrades.
Yeah, and the same for Bob Pillsbury. I think Pillsbury and I went back almost as far, Bob the pianist. And Tony brought people that he had known.
Well, we've got something from your archive here that was recorded in Connecticut in 1980, toward the end of your tenure with the band. I think that demonstrates the incredible ensemble playing and the momentum and excitement that was generated by this band.
Well, it was basically an ensemble band, and that was the goal, to have a very tight ensemble.
I don't know anybody else who's recorded this or performs it. Coal Black Shine.
Yeah, I think it was written by Bechet. I know he certainly did the definitive version of it.
I know you're a Bechet specialist. I think this is an example of you bringing unusual repertory to the Black Eagles.
Well, I introduced as many of those things as I could. I think we did them to pretty good effect.
Coal Black Shine, not heard very often, and I Found a New Baby. My guest Stan McDonald featured on reeds, clarinet, or soprano sax in rare private tapes of the New Black Eagle Jazz Band from 1979 and 80. That was and is a spectacular band, certainly one of the finest trad jazz bands of the last half century. This is Visiting with Stan McDonald on Jazz Rhythm. I'm Dave Radlauer, bringing you recordings from Stan's private collection, which have never been previously broadcast or issued, a Jazz Rhythm exclusive. I'm Dave Radlauer. Thanks for joining my guest, Stan, and I. You can get Stan's music on compact disc through his website,
BlueHorizonJazzBand.com.
BlueHorizonJazzBand.com. Almost everything heard on this three-part series, Visiting with Stan McDonald, is going to be rare exclusive material that we've gone into Stan's extensive archive and library spanning some 50 years and really pulled out the best representatives of his music. And I've done restoration and in some cases some editing on these to bring them up to a broadcast standard. Also, these programs and additional material that didn't make the cut will be on the Jazz Rhythm website at jazzhotbigstep.com. That will be the only place where you can find these rare treasures of Stan McDonald with the various bands, all-stars, the New Black Eagles, and other ensembles he's played with over the years. Just a look ahead, program two in this three-part series will be focusing entirely on the repertory of Sidney Bechet as played by Stan McDonald with various ensembles. And part three will feature Stan with a number of great all-stars, trumpeter Doc Cheatham, pianist Art Hodes, Ralph Sutton, and some other rarities. Around 1958-60, you became involved with something in the Boston area called the Historic Jazz Band.
It was one of the first traditional groups, I think, revival groups, if you will, around Boston. Fred Walsh, I think, started it. He played trombone with me in other groups, including the Blue Horizon, later on. Walter Miller became our trumpet player, and he was in the Historic Jazz Band, and then later on in the Blue Horizon.
Was notable about the Historic Jazz Band?
I think the historical material we played, that was one of the most interesting features of the band. We played things that nobody else played, you know, Oliver and Mort and stuff. And
were there not that many other traditional jazz bands playing in the Boston area at that time?
There weren't. There was one jazz joint called the Log Cabin in Dedham, and that's where I actually got my first experience playing with a live band, I think. That is with a fully functioning jazz band, not some little pickup high school group. And Tommy Benford was the drummer at that point. He, as you know, was Jelly Roll's drummer. That's where I got exposed to some really good music. And I'd get down there and sit in when I was as young as 16. That was a great impact on me.
That's the Log Cabin.
It had been there for a while then. It was right next to Mosley's on the Charles, which was a famous dance hall, which still exists, I believe.
Fortunately, we have discovered in your archive performances of you with the Historic Jazz Band in 1958.
Uh-oh.
I think we found actually some pretty good representatives of the kind of quality and excitement that Historic Jazz Band was generating in those years.
Actually, we did pretty well. It was a good band, yeah.
Well, let's give a listen to the Historic Jazz Band, 1958 and 1960. Thank you. That was the Boston Area Historic Jazz Band, 1958 and 1960. Stan McDonald on clarinet and sometimes soprano sax, featured on Sister Kate and Blues My Naughty Sweetie Gives to Me. These are historic recordings from the over 50-year archive personal library of my guest, Stan McDonald. This is Jazz Rhythm. I'm Dave Radlauer. Thanks for being with me. This is pretty exciting to be able to air music from over 50 years ago featuring you, Stanley.
Well, it is in a way to me, although I must say I think I've improved a little over the years. There's lots of room for improvement, I'll tell you that.
These were all live tapes that were just recorded off the cuff. These were parties, Sunday afternoon events. And yet we find jazz being played at a pretty high level by you and your compatriots in the Boston area in the late 50s and early 60s.
I much prefer playing live, you know, than playing in a studio.
Rock and roll and R&B were taking over the mainstream, but there's been a strong subculture of people who are interested in early, classic, vintage American jazz for some time now.
That culture persisted all the way along through, that's for sure. I mean, these parties were, very largely free-for-alls. There was nothing organized.
There are certain conventions of playing this kind of jazz that make it possible for players who've never played together and yet know a basic repertory and method of performing to come together to make music like this. Could you comment on that for me?
Yeah, well, every band had to adhere to some sort of structure. Somebody's got to play the melody, somebody's got to play counterpoint, and somebody's got to play the right harmony. And those are the rudiments. I mean, people will interpret them in different ways, and that's what makes the difference between one band and another. You got to have a very strong lead, but not too busy.
It's sort of a mystery to someone who's a non-musician like myself. You take a tune like Runnin' Wild or Blues My Naughty Sweetie Gives to Me. How do you sort of agree how it's going to be played so it doesn't turn into a train wreck?
Well, that goes back to the whole idea that somebody's got to play the melody. Somebody's got to play the other parts correctly so they don't double each other or conflict. So as long as the trumpet player knows the melody and the trombonist knows how to play a lower part and the clarinetist knows the chords, can add the filigree or whatnot. And, of course, the pianist is most fundamental of all, if you have a piano. He's got to have the chords perfectly down. The melody doesn't necessarily get played by everybody, even on a solo. Mainly, it's during the ensembles when the trumpet's playing the lead. Parts of the melody naturally will come up during the solo. At least, I tend to play around the melody. I don't totally depart from the melody, usually, on my solos.
Well, as I understand it, that's part of the fundamentals of jazz, that you're not just playing the melody, but you're improvising a fresh reinterpretation on the spot.
Right, but it depends on the individual player, how often he's apt to refer to the melody, or how his phrasing, for example, may follow the melody.
Even though the melody's passed around or the improvisational solos are passed around, clarinetist, for instance, or the soprano, mostly in your case, has a kind of a specific role.
Oh, yeah. Basically, as simple as, in a sense, is knitting together the lead and with the rest of the band by covering the chords and playing a complementary part to the lead, whether it be harmony or counterpoint. I'm playing a lot of notes to complement what the trumpet player is playing. In different registers, too, in the low register, in the upper register. I try not to double him at all. And if he's playing a comprehensible lead, then I know where he's going. So I can stay out of his way and I can complement what he's doing with different notes.
So that's how this pleasing tapestry is sort of woven on the spot.
That's right, that's right. And it's challenging and it comes out differently every time, too.
Well, this is also why the live performance is so exciting, because even the musicians don't know exactly what's going to happen, so it's fresh and a little different each time.
Oh, yeah, and there's a risk involved, you know. And that's an interesting factor right there, how a person is able to balance their technique with the amount of risk they dare to take. The better players will take more risks and get away with it more often.
Uh-huh.
And I think, at least if I may speak for myself, but I'm always aware when I'm taking a risk. Sometimes I hold back for fear of screwing up. That's what I like about live playing, that you're right out there. You know, every second you're immersed in it, and you don't have time to think of what you're doing. It becomes more or less instinctive, you know.
This is very interesting. Here's Running Wild from a Party in 1966, and among the personnel are trumpeter Gid Loring and Stan McDonald on clarinet. Hearing a program in the series, Visiting with Stan McDonald on Jazz Rhythm. I'm Dave Radlauer. There's more of Stan's music, including unissued rarities not heard in this series, at my website. You can hear this and other Jazz Rhythm programs, find articles, photos, and a link to Stan McDonald's Blue Horizon Jazz Band at the Jazz Rhythm website. Jazz Hot Big Step. That's all one word. JazzHotBigStep.com. As my guest Stan McDonald in a private tape from his personal library, I was Stan playing clarinet with some of his frequent musical associates in the Boston, Massachusetts area in the mid-1960s. The trumpeter was Gid Loring, leading a pickup band at a private party consisting of, in part, Jim Wheaton, valve trombone, and Peter Hewitt, piano. And remember, there are more of these unissued rarities at the Jazz Rhythm website, jazzhotbigstep.com. Still ahead, we'll be hearing trumpeter Doc Cheatham, Stan's Blue Horizon Jazz Band, and more from New Black Eagle Jazz Band. This is all music from unissued archival tapes, drawn from some 50 years of performances in this first of three programs, Visiting with Stan McDonald. I'm Dave Radlauer. Thank you for joining Stan and me. Stan's at his home in Sherburn, Massachusetts, reflecting on his 50, 60 years playing jazz as a soprano saxophone player and clarinetist. And we're dipping into his personal library to bring you rare, exclusive, unissued material from 50, almost 60 years of performing by Stan McDonald. There was an occasion that you got to play with Doc Cheatham in the Boston Harbor.
That's right. Actually, before that, he had filled in with the Black Eagles for Tony Pringle. And so Doc and I fronted the band at the Sticky Wicket from 71 to 81.
Just briefly for listeners, Doc was a wonderful trumpeter who had spent over 10 years with Cab Calloway. He told me when I interviewed him that he had played with Jelly Roll Morton, recorded with Fats Waller, and even performed once with Ma Rainey. He became a much sought-after soloist from the 1960s on, spending a couple of years with Benny Goodman.
He and I played on the Jazz Boat. That was like a 600-passenger boat that usually had two bands, one on a lower deck and one on midships, so to speak, and one on an upper deck. And Black Eagles and I played that, I think, for about 6 years every summer.
Oh, that sounds delightful.
It was the biggest jazz club in town, or almost anywhere. There would be two sailings a night, I think one at 7 and one at 9. I think it was every week or every other week. That was a great gig.
Tell us a little bit about the band. Now, this is actually sort of a version of the Black Eagle Jazz Band?
Well, it was the Black Eagles, except Doc Cheatham on trumpet instead of Pringle. The rest of the band was the same. Vincent on trombone, I think Palmyre on drums. With Doc, I think it was Don Kenny on string bass instead of Eli Neuberger on tuba. On this particular occasion we're talking about.
It's really great. You and he got along quite well musically, I think.
Oh, we got along musically and personally. And, of course, that's important. If you get along personally, you can pretty well get along musically. And he was a very, really modest but very, very impressive player. He always surprised you, but never in a way that would interfere, you know? Doc often played behind the beat, and you never quite knew what he was going to play in terms of phrasing. That was the key to Doc. His phrasing was so very original. He could play a standard melody, and you'd think you were hearing that exact melody, but when it came out, what he had done with it was mainly alter the phrasing in such a way that it was unexpected and fresh. You know?
Thank you. Stan live on the Jazz Boat in the Boston Harbor with Doc Cheatham substituting for Tony Pringle, sitting in with the Black Eagle Jazz Band. I'm Dave Redlarer. This is Jazz Rhythm.